Let's get into the preaching of the Word of God. We are in a series called Faith That Moves Mountains. Speaking of mountains being moved, I don't know if some of y'all heard this testimony, but it was really awesome. Tuesday, the Bridge Church, I still consider Pastors Mark and Maria our pastors. We came out of there in Bradenton, but he had told me about a week ago. He said, hey, I want your staff team to come out and get prayed over on our first Tuesday service. Just feel like kind of like a recommissioning in the season that you're in, and just want to let you know we're behind y'all and what's happening at Church of Motion. And so we just thought we were going to go out there and get prayed over, which was awesome, but he called me Tuesday morning. We're about to enter our staff meeting, and he said, hey, we've been praying as a pastoral team at the Bridge, and we really, after we pray over you guys, want you and Brooke to stay up there and just lead people, whoever needs healing, to come to the altar, whoever needs deliverance, come to the altar, and we're going to pray and believe that they're going to be healed and set free today. And so we did that, and you never know going into another church what to expect. And we opened up, hey, if you have disease in your body, if you need deliverance in the mind, would you come up? And the altar flooded with like 100 people. And we prayed and we said, hey, if you're able to test out your body and you would say I'm at least 80% better right now in this moment, would you raise your hand? And there had to be 30 or more people that raised their hand that said 80% or more. In fact, we had a girl in the that we were trying to leave in the van, and she came flying in, a baby in the back seat and everything, comes up into the parking lot. She's like, I gotta tell you, I was being prayed over for my shoulder, and my shoulder was in pain, and I had carpal tunnel. And she said, I was I didn't even know what was going on. She said, I thought somebody was massaging my shoulder, and every time I turned around, nobody was there. And she said, I felt like there was this massage tool just kept going up and down my shoulder, but she said, I couldn't figure it out because nobody was doing it. And she said, I just wanted to let you guys know, my shoulder and my carpal tunnel just was open, and I was completely healed in that moment today. Come on, praise Jesus, right? And so just wanted to share that as we're talking about faith that moves mountains, right? Jesus said, he said to bring heaven to earth. In fact, in the Great Commission, most of us know Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Mark's version of that same Great Commission, I don't know if you know this, says, you will go out and you'll preach the message and you'll lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. You'll cast out devils. And it said, I'll go with you and I'll confirm the message through signs and wonders. How many of y'all knew that was part of the Great Commission, right? And so this is all Jesus. This is what he intended to do. So said last week that faith, come on, somebody say faith. Faith doesn't just get us into the family, right? But it becomes a nature of life within the family. In fact, write that down in your notes. This is kind of a key statement within this series. Faith was never intended only to get us into the family. Rather, it is a way of life in the family. So listen, if you're here and you're like, bro, I don't know about all this stuff, the songs you're singing, what you've been saying, I haven't even believed in Jesus. Faith gets you into the family. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't, like, your good works don't start to outweigh your bad works. No. You receive. The Bible says it's God's gift, right? He loves you. In fact, if you're here and you go, I don't even believe in Jesus, first of all, you can belong here before you believe. Second of all, God loves you just as much as he loves me. I want to encourage you with that. And it's not that those that would say, I have believed, did anything special to get in the family. No, they simply received this gift of salvation, of eternal life, by faith, right? It is, you've been saved by grace through faith, right? Faith gets us into the family of God, but it doesn't just get us into the family of God. How many know it is the nature of life within the family, right? We are a family of faith. We live by faith. Jesus talks so much to his followers about faith. In fact, if you've ever read the Gospels, how many know Jesus said some pretty shocking things about faith? Would you agree? Said some big statements when it came to faith. In fact, Jesus said in his own words, a lot of what we see manifested on earth today in our time will have a lot to do with the faith of the people of God. In fact, this series title came out of one of those big statements when it came to faith. Matthew 17, I'm not going to go into the whole story because we're going a little somewhere else today, but want to remind you of where this series title came out of, Faith That Moves Mountains. The context, a father comes and brings his boy that's possessed by demons, and he comes to the disciples. He said, hey, can you deliver him? They can't. And so then he brings the boy to Jesus. Jesus heals him in the moment. He's delivered. The miraculous happens right there in the moment, and the disciples are confused. So they say this to Jesus. It says, the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so, come on, say it together. They said, well, why couldn't we do it? He said, because you have so little faith. He says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Somebody say mustard seed. Everybody know how small a mustard seed is. He said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed. So you can imagine the disciples. Why couldn't we do it? Because you had too little faith. Oh my God, how much faith do we got to have? I mean, how grand a faith do we have to experience this? And Jesus' response is incredible. He says, you just got to have faith as small as a mustard seed. Think about that. Mustard seed faith, he said, you could tell that mountain to move from here to there and it will move. Nothing. Come on, somebody say nothing. Nothing would be impossible for you. I joked last week that in the Greek, the word nothing has a very interesting meaning. Are you ready for it? It means nothing. Like nothing. Jesus, in his own words, he said, nothing would be impossible for you. He said, faith, the size of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain. How many have some mountains in your life? Some giants in your life. Only three of us. The rest of y'all good. Okay, right? He said you could tell it to move and it would move. Nothing would be impossible for you. Meaning faith the size of a mustard seed, you would see all impossibilities bow at the name of Jesus. This is Jesus in his own words. Somebody say faith that moves mountains. I remember growing up in Ohio every year. I think it was around August time. We had the Ohio State Fair. How many fair people in the house? Y'all are weird. Keep your hands up. Like fair people. It's a whole nother level. I'm just kidding. I offended some of y'all. Some of y'all, I said fair, and you start smelling fried food. Anybody like, come on, man, like the corn dog, jumbo onion rings, wash it down with a fried Snickers bar. Come on, I'm preaching pretty good right now. Come on, this has got that fried food anointing flowing in the house right now. Some of y'all can just smell it and taste it. But we would go to the Ohio State Fair, and at the Ohio State Fair at the time, I thought it was huge. As a kid, there was this big yellow slide in the middle of the ride area, and you would ride down it on little carpet squares. And as a kid, I thought like this was the tallest slide in the world. I really did. My parents would have to give me a pep talk before we go to the fair to ride, get on the carpet, and you know, it was one of those wavy slides. You kind of go like this, and man, I thought this thing was so big. I mean, I thought, man, we're like in the landing path of airplanes going into Columbus Airport, right? I mean, I thought it was so tall. But you know what I realized is every year I got older and went to the fair, that slide became smaller. And it wasn't that they were putting it up smaller than they were the year before. It's the same slide. But my perspective began to change year after year after year. Like every year I matured, every year I got older, right? That slide looked a lot smaller and a lot less scary. The same should be true as you grow in faith. Amen? That the giants and the mountains that used to look so big and so scary look a lot less big, look a lot less giant, and they're a lot less scary as we grow in faith. Are y'all following me? Right, that's an indication that I am growing in faith. I'd highly encourage, if you weren't here last week, to watch last week's message. We kicked this off with a message titled Faith Eyes. And I say you need to hear that message because if you're going to live a life of faith, a faith that moves mountains, you're going to have to see things differently than everybody else sees them. Right? Oftentimes we get so anchored in what the Bible calls a secondary reality, the here, the now, the temporal, on this side of eternity. But Paul would constantly remind us in the Bible, he'd say things like, set your sights on the realities of earth. No, on the realities of heaven. See, faith is being able to see through the lens of heaven at every circumstance, every giant, in every mountain. Right, we said last week, it's looking heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. See, oftentimes, the reason we struggle with faith is we try to run everything through our natural mind, don't we? How many know your natural mind will never be able to perceive the supernatural of God? So we talked last week, and this was a huge point. I went into it deeper than what I'm going to say right now, is when the Bible talks about us needing a renewing of our mind, what do we do? Well, where does God live? God lives in our spirit, right? That is the place of communion of God. It's our spirit that's perfect, that's been born again. What we often do, and the reason we struggle in the area of faith, the reason we struggle to live from the realities of heaven to earth, is we submit the things of God to the mind of man, don't we? If it doesn't fit within my mind, I struggle with it. Are y'all following me? What we have to do is we have to learn to submit the mind of man to the things of God. How does that happen? When we let our spirit lead. When we let the place of communion, Jesus said, in your innermost being, lead. So what happens? My spirit, my born-again spirit, where the place where God lives becomes the teacher, my mind becomes the student. Too many believers let their mind be the teacher and their spirit be the student, and a renewing of the mind is when we are y'all following me? That's better preaching than what you just were saying. Thank you. Thank you, somebody who said that, right? We've got to learn to look through the lenses of heaven at every single situation. That's why Jesus said, seek first my kingdom. That's a priority statement. Is it not seek first my kingdom? I've got to learn to look through the kingdom of God, Jesus's rule, his domain at every single situation. And so I say all this because I want to continue this discussion on faith by going back to a story that maybe many of you have heard in Numbers chapter 13. Maybe you've never read it, but you've probably heard something about this story. A story in Numbers chapter 13, and I want to parallel it with our assignment as believers on this side of eternity. And I think you'll see some similarities between what happens in when we try to lead with our natural minds when it comes to faith. And you'll see a similarity in the story that we're about to read about in Numbers chapter 13. I've titled this message, Grapes, Giants, and Grasshoppers. Hopefully, that probably doesn't make any sense right now, but hopefully it does by the end of the message. If not, it was just kind of a cool title, I guess. Numbers chapter 13, I need to give you the context before we dive in, right? How many have heard of Moses in the Bible? You've probably never even been in church, and you've heard of Moses, right, Mo? And Moses, right, grows up. They're going to kill all the babies, the Hebrew babies. Mom, in a desperate act, throws him in a basket in the river. God orchestrates it where he ends up with Pharaoh's daughter. And so he's a Hebrew, right? He's in the nation of God, but he's raised in the Egyptian palace with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's family. And one day Moses goes out and he ends up killing an Egyptian, and he's worried that everybody's going to find out who he really is. So he runs off to the wilderness, has the burning bush encounter, right, with God, where God speaks to him in the bush and says, you're going to go and you're going to free my people from slavery. You know, God performs a bunch of plagues. Come on, you've read about it. And he leads them out, right? They are delivered out of slavery, which, by the way, the same happens to us when you say yes to Jesus. Did you know that? Come on, the Bible says you are slaves to sin and death. When you say yes to Jesus, you are no longer a slave to sin and death. And so Moses, I just want you to see some of the similarities. Moses led them out of slavery. God performs all these miraculous acts, splits the Red Sea. What you might not know is 11 to 14 days after they were freed, Moses led them out of Egypt, they are on the border of this promised land. A theme in what God would tell Moses to tell the people was, hey, I've got a better way for you than what you're currently living right now. I've got a better future for you. I've got a better plan for you. How many know God has a better plan for you than maybe what you're living right now? Are you seeing the similarities? How many are thankful that what God has for your future is better than what you had in your past? Right? In the same way, God has this theme, I've got a better way, I've got another land, I've got a better future that I want to lead you into. And so 14 days at most, people say, they were on the border of this promised land that God promised them. Somebody says, well, I thought they spent 40 years in the wilderness. They did, and you'll find out why through a lack of faith and seeing things with the wrong eyes, an 11 to 14 day journey ended up being 40 years. Check this out. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving. Notice that statement. I am giving. Come on, say it out loud together. I am giving to the Israelites. Send some into the land that I am giving to the Israelites. So God is reminding them, hey, I keep telling you about this promise. Here's the land. I'm giving it to you. God says, send some people in to check out the land and bring back a report of the land which I am giving to you. I'll come back to that. I'm giving it to you because that's really important. So Numbers 13, 18 through 20, it says, see what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong, weak, few, or many. This is Moses talking to the spies. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good? Is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile? Is it poor? Are the trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Some of the fruit of the land. So the spies go out, right? They check out the land. They spend some time in the land, getting to know the land, getting to see the land. They come back. They bring a report, and they come to Moses, and this is a paraphrased version, obviously. But they say basically, hey, Moses, we've got some good news, and we've got some bad news. Let's start with the good news. And by the way, the good news they're actually carrying, if you would give me those, Brooke. They come back, if you know the story, carrying grapes. Now, their grapes looked a lot better than my poor example. Right? This is what happens when you have a sermon illustration that your kids find. This was flowing with grapes up until this morning. Brooke may have had a few too. I don't know. But come on. They come back carrying grapes. Somebody say grapes. Grapes. They come back carrying grapes. In fact, the Bible says these grapes were so big that they had to put them on poles between two men. Men had poles on their shoulder carrying these grapes. Come on, somebody say, that's some big grapes. Grapes the size of grapefruit. Some of y'all laughed a little too hard at that. I don't know. Grapes the size of grapefruits, right? So they say, Moses, look at these grapes, right? It is everything that God said it would be and more. Not only is this, like this is, they're like, Moses, it's just a sample size of what's available in this land. They go on to say it is a land flowing with milk and honey, right? There's grapes, there's milk. It's everything God said it would be and more, but there's also some bad news. Right? They say there's grapes in the land, but there's also giants, right? The people that currently inhabit the land are really, really big. Now, stop right here for a moment, because I told you I want to parallel this to our life as well. This is true for our life as well, right? How many know God has grapes? Do you believe that? Come on, I said God has grapes. I just wanted to throw grapes. That's really has nothing to do with the mess. I said, God has grapes. You don't amen back there? Come on, how many know God has grapes for your life? Right? Write down the word grapes if you're taking notes right now. Anybody else want a little snack? Want some grapes? I feel like I left this side of the room. Oh, I hit the... We can always blame it on the kids in the lunchroom, too, when we leave some grapes. But he has grapes for your life. Well, how do you know that? Well, God said, I have plans, right? I have plans, he said, to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in a future. Come on, how many know if you've got a pulse, God has a purpose for your life? Come on, he's got grapes, right? He's got grapes. Y'all look like you need some grapes. He's got grapes, right? Come on. The Bible said, Brooke actually read it. She didn't even know I was going to say it today. He says, I want to do more than you could ever dream up or imagine through my power that's at work within you. Come on, the Bible says that we are co-heirs with Christ. Let that sink in for a minute. A co-heir means if Christ deserves it, you deserve it through Christ. Let that sink in. Bible says we are a royal priesthood as God's children. Right? We are royalty to God through Christ. Come on, I'm trying to tell you, he's got grapes for your life. This isn't just true of you individually. How many know this is true corporately or collectively as the church? Come on, how many believe we've just scratched the surface of what God has in store? I mean, think about this. We've got a mission. He says, I got all authority back. Now go use it to make more disciples, to reach more people, to bring heaven to earth, right? To see his kingdom come, his will be done on it, on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, what a privilege that we get to be a part of in our time, in our generation, of seeing God's kingdom expanded. Are you following me? Come on, y'all, I'm losing. You got, God's got grapes. He's got grapes for you all. But how many know, come on, there's grapes, but there's also giants, right? Come on, we've got two, grapes and giants. Somebody say grapes and giants. Right, there's grapes, but there's also giants. So let me say it like this. By the way, grapes represent God's blessing if you haven't caught on yet. Some of y'all are like, what was the message about? I don't know, he just threw out grapes, man. I have no idea. I don't even think he had anything planned. Grapes represent God's blessing. So let me say it like this. Grapes is the place where the blessing flows and good things happen. But how many know in the land of grapes, there's also giants? Come on, some of y'all looking at me like, have you faced giants in the land? Some of y'all really realize that right now. Yeah, right now. Right? There's mountains. And I'm trying to parallel this to our lives, our assignment on planet Earth. They go in and they say, yeah, there's all kinds of blessing. The grapes, the milk, the honey, the land, it's beautiful. It's amazing. Look at the grapes. It's just a sample size of what God has in store. How many believe you've only tasted a little sample size of what God has in store for your life? Right? But there's also giants. Somebody say giants. But there's also giants in the land. The place the blessing flows, grapes, is also the land of giants. There's resistance. There's opposition. There's mountains. There's an enemy who has a mission to steal, kill, and destroy that does not want you stepping into the fullness of the plan that God has for your life. Somebody say giants. Grapes and giants. Numbers 13, verse 27, it says this. It says, this was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But then the story turns. It says, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw, come on, say it together, giants. We've got grapes, we've got giants. We saw giants there, the descendants of Enoch. Now, I don't know who Enoch is, but he must have been a bad boy. Come on, right? Like his descendants are there. Enoch's descendants are in the land, right? So what do they say? They say there's grapes. Look at them. It's just a sample size. But there's giants that are standing in the way of the blessing that God has promised us. Somebody say faith. This is where the faith part. Some of y'all like, did he forget faith that moves mountains? Faith that moves mountains, right? There's blessing. God has a purpose. God has assignments. But there's also resistance to that. There's giants, there's mountains that stand in the way, right? There is resistance. The enemy doesn't want you to step into all God has for your life. And so listen to me, where we go from here, where the Israelites went from there, has to do with the lens in which we view the giants in our life through. Are you following me? How we perceive the giants, the resistance, the mountains that we face on this side of eternity. Let me say it like this. The battle is oftentimes more internal than it is external. Would you agree? Right? How we perceive, how we view what stands in the way of God's promises. Numbers 13, verse 31. Listen to what 10 of the spies say. There were 12 spies. I'll get to the other two here in a moment. 10 of them say this. Here's the report. Remember, they're reporting back to Moses. They saw the land. They come back with grapes, just a sample size of what God has in store for their life. But then they start talking about giants. They get consumed by the giants. And listen to the report. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report. Somebody say bad report. They spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour. Are you seeing how this continues to grow? How many know the enemy will do that? When you start focusing on the giants, when you start focusing on the mountains, they'll become bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, I love the Israelites. They say, and they saw us in the same way. How many know you get so consumed with this, you'll start thinking other people are seeing you in the same light as you see yourself. Right? It says all the people there were huge. We saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. He gets mentioned again. That's a bad boy. Next to them, we felt like, come on, say it together. Are you seeing the title come together? Greats, giants, and grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. So check this out. They go into the land. They see it's everything that God said it would be. They see the promise. They see the blessing. In fact, they got a little sample size, right? Come back holding grapes, a little sample size of the blessing that God has in store. But there's also giants in the land. And what do? They go, we were grasshoppers compared to the giants in the land. They saw themselves as grasshoppers compared to the resistance, to the giants, to the mountains that were in the way. Somebody say, faith that moves mountains. I would say oftentimes in the church, nothing has changed. Come on, we face resistance. We face giants in the land. There is a real spiritual enemy that is coming against you. And oftentimes we begin to size ourselves up against the mountain or the giant or the mountain or the resistance in our life. And in the same way, we might not use the same wording. We basically say we look like grasshoppers compared to that. And in the same way, we do what the Israelites do. We retreat in fear instead of moving forward into the greater blessing by faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. Right? Let me say it like that. Let me say it like this. Many never experiencing his kingdom come because we look at the giants and we say we're like grasshoppers to them. No way we can do this. Are you seeing the similarities in the story? So write this down in your notes. I want you to hear this. This is where I wanted to go to today. God has grapes. Somebody say grapes. The giants are not that big. We're not grasshoppers. And he's given us the land. I hope you're too busy writing. That's why you're not saying amen. Let me say that again. God has given us grapes. He wants to bless you. He has an assignment. He has a purpose. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From God, right? He has grapes. The giants that stand in the way, the resistance, the opposition, the mountains, the tactics of the enemy are not that big. Come on, we are not grasshoppers. We are children of God. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We've been given authority over the giants in the land. We're not grasshoppers. And listen, he's given us the land. Let me go back to this real quick. What amazes me about this story is God never said, go in there and see if you can take the land or not. Did he? Maybe I'm missing a verse. He never said, hey guys, go in there, size yourself up against the people there, come back, have a committee meeting. Come on, churches still do this. And decide if you can actually move forward and take the land. Did he say that? In fact, the whole story starts off, I've given you the land. Hey, before you even go into the land, remember, it's already yours. I'm giving it to you. Your whole assignment is to just go in and see what I'm giving you. Bring back a report to the people about how awesome it is. And faith is going to rise up in the group and you're going to go and you're going to take what I've already given you. But yet 10 out of the 12 spies come back and say, we can't do it. We can't take the land. I'm going to parallel this to our lives and our assignment here in a minute. But there's a couple other spies in the story. Many of you know this. Numbers 13:30. Finally, somebody that went in. There were 12 spies. 10 come back talking about giants. Finally, two are going to turn the conversation back to the grapes. He says, but Caleb tried to quiet the crowd as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to what? Somebody remembered it was already given to them. All they were asked to do was to take it. Are you seeing it? Somebody said, hey, nobody said we've got to go fight for the land. Our mission is simply to go take it. Right? Let's go take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. 10 spies filled with fear, 2 spies filled with faith. Let me say it like this. The reason the enemy, even as we read the promises, the grapes, the blessing, the purpose, the assignment. You hear about it on Sundays. You read your Bible in your groups throughout the week. Yeah, God's got purpose. He's got promises. He's got an assignment. The reason many of us never step into it is because we leave this place and we begin to size ourselves up against the giants in the land. We think we look like grasshoppers and we never go out and do what God's called us to do. Are you following me? Do you know the most repeated command throughout all of Scripture is simply this? Do not fear. Or fear not. Fear not, do not fear. In fact, it is said, I did not research this myself, it is said that the words do not fear or fear not is repeated 365 times in the Bible. How many know that's one for each day? The most repeated phrase in Scripture is do not fear or fear not. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Why do I read that? Because faith and fear are both substance in the spiritual realms. Let me say it like this. Unbelief is simply faith in something other than God. Well, I'm not a person of faith. Yes, you are. You just believe in something other than God. Unbelief is I'm going to put faith in something other than God. So could we say fear, somebody say fear, is actually faith in the devil. Fear is faith in the devil, right? Why do you think Jesus, and let me say it like this, the reason I talk about fear with faith, fear attacks the very foundation of our relationship with God, which is what? Faith, right? Where we get in on the family by faith. The faith is a nature of life within the family. Fear attacks that foundation of our relationship with God with faith. Why do you think Jesus, when he would look at his fearful disciples, he never say, why are you so fearful? What would he call them? Faithless. Every time they were scared, look it up, Jesus would say, why are you so faithless? Right? Because fear and faith are opposites. They cannot go together. They cannot coexist. They work against each other. Now let me say it like this. Remember, we've talked about this in the last few weeks, Satan has no power except through man's agreement, right? That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The reason he got authority and power is man agreed with the enemy. Jesus comes back, takes authority back, gives us the keys of authority. The only way the devil is now empowered is when we come into agreement with his plan. So let me say it like this. Fear becomes our heart's response when we come into agreement with his intimidating suggestions. So when you fear and we lift up the giants in the mountains, what are we doing? We're actually agreeing with the enemy. We're agreeing with his intimidating suggestions within our life. Think about it. Because it's easy to look at this story and go, man, what's wrong with these people, right? I mean, think about it. Like, didn't they remember God's given them the land? I mean, as he started off, why are you talking about giants? Why are you talking about what you can't do? God's with you. Think about it like this. The whole way they got out of Egypt was miraculous act after miraculous act after miraculous act. Are you following me? I mean, they literally watched God open the Red Sea and then close it on the Egyptians. Yet here we are days later and we're talking about the giants in the land. We're focused on the descendants of Enoch. And it's easy to look at the story and be like, what is wrong with these people? Do you know there's no generation that has greater access to the testimony of God's power, his resources, his supernatural provision than our generation right now? Yet how often do we retreat in fear to the giants in our life? Right? We do the same thing. In fact, remember he said, I've given you the land. I talked about this last week. 1 John 3:8 says this, but the Son of God came to what? Destroy the works of the devil. Again, that word destroy means to utterly defeat, demolish, annihilate, dismantle, smash, obliterate, ruin, extinguish, blow up, wipe out. Are you getting the picture? In the same way, he says, I've already given you the land. Go take it. Our job as believers is simply to just enforce and reinforce the defeat of the enemy in his agenda that already happened when Jesus took the cross and rose from the grave. We have it just as the Israelites had God with them and saw the miraculous acts. We have God in us. He lives in us. He's with us. We have his promises. We move forward and take the land that he has already given to us. This is why in the Great Commission, Jesus could say this. Matthew 28, 18. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. How much authority?
All.
All. So is there any giant, is there any mountain that has greater authority than Jesus? All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go and advance the kingdom of light and drive out the kingdom of darkness. In other words, Jesus said, I've already got all the authority back. Now go use it to reclaim mankind, to reach more people. I'll end with this very practical example. Can I be transparent with you? Tuesday, I started off, and I wasn't even gonna say this here. I just felt like God reminded me of it. I started off by talking about Tuesday at the bridge and what God did and just the testimony of that. But can I be very transparent with you? Brooke can agree. I was like, I need you to pray over me. Like, I was like, yeah, we're gonna go get prayed over. And then when Pastor Mark said, hey, here's what I want you guys to do, can I be real transparent? I was excited in one part of me and then was a little freaked out in the other part. And as the day went on, I can be transparent with you, right? I love your transparency, Pastor. Makes me feel better about myself. The giant of sickness and torment in the mind and addiction abuse, there was a part of my day that I began to allow it to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. And it was actually in worship at the bridge that God reminded me of the story where Jesus, they're getting on him. It's the man they bring on the mat, and he says, all your sins are forgiven. And they're like, you can't do that. And he said, well, what would be easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to get up, take your mat, and walk? And they said, well, of course, get up and take your mat and walk. Or which one would be harder? And he says, not only your sins are forgiven, get up, take your mat, and walk. And what God reminded me of is when it comes to God and what Jesus did on his redemptive act on the cross, to him there's no difference between forgiveness of sin and healing of the sick. It did not take a greater act of God to say your sins are forgiven, get up, take your mat. Are y'all following me? It was in the same breath. It was in the same prayer. This is just an example of how we make giants out of our life. We make mountains oftentimes out of like what's a molehill to God. Do we not? And we need to be reminded. Let me read you a few names, see if you know these. Shaphat, Shemua, Eagle, Sather, Nabhi. I don't even know how to say this one. Ghoul. Y'all heard of any of them? If any of you named that, I'm like, this illustration just didn't work. That's me, man. Those are some of the names of the 10 spies that said we can't go in. You never heard of them, did you? Let me ask you a question. Have you heard of Caleb? Have you heard of Joshua? 2 spies looked at the mountain with faith. 10 spies that you never heard of retreated in fear and never accessed the blessing and the benefits, the land, the purpose, the assignment that God had for their life. Come on, we're going to be people that move forward in faith. 2 spies said, God has grapes. The giants aren't that big. We're not grasshoppers. He's given us the land. In the same way, us as the church, come on, let's just stand to our feet. We're going to rise up as the church. We're going to go out from here and we're going to say the same thing. God has grapes. He has blessing. He has more. We've only scratched the surface. We have an assignment. We have a purpose. There's giants in the land, but they're not that big. We're not grasshoppers. We've been filled with the Spirit of God. He lives in us. He's given us authority to bring heaven to earth, to seek his kingdom first, right? He's given us the land. We're going to go take it. Amen? God, I thank you so much for the reminder that we all needed today. God, the faith that moves mountains has so much to do with how we perceive the resistance, the opposition. So right now, God, I pray you would connect us to heaven's realities. As Paul said, God, right now, in the midst of the mountain, in the midst of the giant, in the midst of the resistance, God, let us
Let our sights right now be fixed on the realities of heaven. God, let us stop. In fact, we repent of this, submitting the things of you to my natural mind. Instead, God, I'm going to submit my mind to your word, to your voice, to your promises. And God, I'm going to let that lead, and I'm going to step out with a faith, God, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, that will move mountains and see all impossibilities bow at the name of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you have not received Jesus, I said earlier, you're one decision away. Everything that happened on that needed to happen on the cross already happened. Everything that needed to happen for the forgiveness of sin already happened. Everything that needed to happen for you to have eternal life and be in right standing with God and have a relationship and step into an assignment and a purpose on this side of eternity already took place on the cross. You just simply receive it by faith. Come on, it's not behave and be saved, it's believe and receive. I want to lead you through a little prayer right now. I'm going to ask our Church of Motion family to say it out loud after me. For those that are coming to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you just feel I need to say this as an act of rededication. Say this to him. Say, Heavenly Father, I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on a cross for all my sin, and he rose to bring me life. And so I repent of my sin, and I turn to you, Jesus. You gave all of yourself for me. I give all of me for you. Take my life. It's yours. From this point forward, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, would you just slip your hand up real high? Wave it. It's the best decision of your life. Just wave it real high. Say, that was me. First time or rededicated today. Just wave it high. I want to see it. Here's why I want to see it. Because all of heaven is throwing a party for you right now. How awesome is that? Praise party in heaven broke out for the decision that you just made. We also want to pray for you. And here's what we're going to do. This is something new. Stay in this moment of worship and praise. But if you've got a phone, I want you again to pull it out, and they're going to put this on the screen. If you made a fresh start of any time with God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to text fresh start to that number right there. Why? Because we want to send you a gift in the mail for the decision you made. We're also putting videos together with some next steps for those that have just given their life or made a fresh start that's going to help you begin to move forward in your walk with Christ, right? You just left the starting block. You didn't cross the finish line. So make sure, we'll leave that up for a minute. Make sure you send a text to that number. We'd love to help you in your fresh start with God that you made today. Well, I just want to stay in a moment of just receiving from the Holy Spirit today. I just feel like he's building faith today. Anybody? Sometimes I love it. And maybe this was more of the mind thing as well that God was showing me prior to the message is sometimes we go after physical healing, and we should, but there's also a healing we miss, and that's where God heals our mentality, heals the way we see things. And sometimes before we can receive the other healing and deliverance he wants to do, we first got to receive that healing in the mentality. I don't know, maybe that's in our minds today, that we would begin to see things differently, that we would go out here and we'd stop thinking we're grasshoppers to the giants, but we would walk into the grapes and the blessing and the purpose that he would have for us. So let's just allow him to just heal mentalities. Let's allow him to turn. The Holy Spirit, let him teach you, let him help you, let him put your thoughts and in your mind and your sights on the realities of heaven right now. On the mountain, the giant. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to see it through the lens of heaven right now.
I felt like when Pastor David was speaking that God gave me a word for someone in here. Maybe this service and maybe second service, but I felt like he was saying that there's somebody in this room who either just changed jobs, or maybe there was new leadership in the job, in the workplace you are at, or it's something to do with your job and where you're trying to decide if you should remain or if you should go. and you kind of maybe came into this room and you were like, God, I want you to just give me a sign whether or not I should remain or if I should go. And I felt like he said this, that someone here is experiencing resistance after a change was made. And you can't see why you're there, or you can't make sense of what is happening. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't remain. He's saying that you should remain, because he was saying, like, the inner fortitude will bring out outer fortitude, and it's something you need to go through right now. Okay, does that make sense to anybody in this room right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, can you guys come forward? We want to pray for you. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. And if you're, a owner here at Church of Motion and you want to put your hands on somebody up here, would you come forward and do so? Yes, God.
Pray with me. God, I just thank you, first of all, for the boldness to take a step of faith forward. God, I thank you, and I want to encourage each one of these men and women that are up here, God, that the whole reason they're up here is because they were seeking you for an answer. God, they didn't want to make a decision outside of your will, outside of your agenda. And so, God, I pray that they'd be encouraged right now. God, in their relationship with you, that Holy Spirit, you would just encourage them. God, I pray that this moment, even giving Brooke a word and people praying over them, would take their faith to another level. God, and they would never come back down to the level they were before they walked in this morning. But God, that would be the new level of normal for them. And you'd begin to build on that. But God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, God, for all those at the altar, maybe for all those even in the seats, God, that are going through something, Lord. I pray, God, that you would give them, Holy Spirit, the ability to see with faith eyes. To see that job situation, maybe it's that change in leadership, that they would see this season, God. I'm reminded that I think some of them, Lord, it's just a season right now, but you're doing something. You're preparing them in this season, God. And God, you would give them, even though the devil right now is trying to get them to complain and be negative about this season, God, you would give them the supernatural ability to just find you in every situation, in every coworker. God, that they would begin to see themselves as a missionary within that workplace. Not there by accident, but they're on assignment for you, by you in this season. And God, you would rise up with faith. God, they would see their bosses and coworkers through your eyes, through your heart. And God, you would do something in this season right now, God, that prepares them for the next. God, that they would look back and it would be a testimony of your goodness. Preparing them for this season. God, an impartation from you, Holy Spirit, right now in this place that prepares them for all the grapes that you still have in store for their life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we're just going to sing this again. This is a move. And if you're serving second service and need to be released, you're released to go. If you feel you need to go, you can go. But we're going to just sing this a little bit more and have some ministry time. And so if you're here on the prayer team, if you'd remain up and available, but just feel free to just stay in this attitude of worship as we respond to God. Yeah.